This is TWiT.
This LotNet arrangement that has been in the news this week. What it is a series of agreements, I would take it, I would guess. I'm not sure how, you know, they're formalizing things, but it's a group of companies getting together. Right now it has Canon, Dropbox, Google, Asana, SAP, and Newegg. And I think others can join if they want. You can find it at, let's see, what's its website? LotNet.com. And the idea behind it is that all of these companies are agreeing that should they ever sell their patents, should they ever divest themselves of all their patents, they will license all the other LotNet members to use those patents. So they cannot ever be sued by a patent troll. This, if it's contractual, would seem to be enforceable, right, Stefan?
I think it is enforceable, and that's what's good about it. What's interesting about it is this is another one of several sort of patent pooling or patent defense league type arrangements that I've seen popping up in the last few years. It seems to be aimed at patent trolls primarily with an interesting strategy. The main problem with patent trolls is that you can't countersue them because they're not making any product that you might have a patent to cover. So you're pretty much defenseless when a patent troll attacks you. And so the problem with these patent defense leagues is that they're useful against competitors sometimes, but they're not useful against patent trolls because even if you have 10,000 or 100,000 patents in a pool you could draw upon to use defensively, it doesn't do any good to use a patent defensively against trolls. It seems to me like what LotNet is trying to do is they're trying to disarm the trolls ahead of time by basically putting a poison pill basically in all the existing patents that are out there so that in 5 or 10 years when these patents start coming up for sale as startups go bankrupt and need to sell their patents, that they won't be able to be bought and used by trolls. So what they're trying to do is basically take the thorns off the rose ahead of time. And I think it's a valiant effort, but I'm afraid that it can only have so much effect. You're only going to get a certain percentage of the entire existing number of live patents in the U.S. that are bound up under such an agreement. Even if you got 50%, there might be another 2 million live inventions out there, live patents out there that could be used by trolls. So it could reduce the risk somewhat, and I admire the effort. And I think we're going to see more attempts like this.
Well, LOT, the LOT part of LotNet, stands for License on Transfer. As of today, according to their website, they have 7 members, but I could certainly see this being an attractive kind of thing a startup might want to join. To try and protect itself against patent troll lawsuits down the road. What do you think, Harry?
I really agree with what was just said. Mm-hmm. I think it's a valiant effort, but it really is, you know, a finger in the dam. So, mm-hmm. you know, 500,000 plus patents get issued every year. Any one of those might be bought by a troll down the road. And I think agreements like this are probably going to only cover a very small percentage of them. On the other hand, very large companies recently that have either failed or have gone belly up, for instance, you know, Nortel Networks and Polaroid and large companies of the past have had their patents sold off. So if you can get a bunch of really large players, it might have some impact. But I still think it's sort of, you know, just the finger in the dam, given how many, there is something estimated, you know, 2 million live patents plus at any given time. So this will only cover a small percentage of them. But I like the idea, theoretically.
Let me say one more thing about this, if it's okay. I think that the value of this could be more against patent competitors than patent trolls, because this could have a network effect where people start joining this in an industry to get the right to use the patents in the pool defensively, like in patent defense leagues, against people in their industry. And as I believe that patent competitors, that is competitors in an industry with patents, are a bigger threat than patent trolls. I think this is actually more promising than it would seem to be, given that it only could have so much of an effect on patent trolls. So I would expect and hope that these things could snowball and take effect in different industries. I'm a little bit worried that the FTC is going to start saying this is anti-competitive if these companies that are competitors pool their patents with each other just for defensive reasons. So they're trying to get rid of an anti-competitive monopoly the government is forcing them to get to defend themselves, and that might be called anti-competitive. So you have the interplay of antitrust and patent law in a bad way, I'm afraid. But there's some potential here in that respect, I think.
I think my head just exploded. We've got the government in your scenario saying you're taking monopoly tactics to get out of our monopoly law. It's pretty funny. All right, Evan, what do you think about LotNet?
Well, you know, it's interesting because it lends itself to so many useful metaphors, cutting off the thorns from the rose ahead of time, finger yes. in the dam, poison pill. I mean, those are all very apt, and I guess we want to do that when we're confronted with novel situations, novel approaches like this. And, of course, I agree with what Stefan and Harry say here about it being of limited utility so long as there are only a few participants in that, which is not to say that it wouldn't work if it were much larger in a larger set of companies and patent holders that were involved in it here. I think if you actually read the license agreement itself, the license agreement that actually gives structure and gives structure to how it actually works. It's really interesting how it works here, you know, because you've got this license that is granted to all the other members of the community, but that license doesn't take effect until immediately prior to the transfer actually happening. So it's sort of like this weird thing that happens. And so we start to think of where does this actually happen? When does it particularly happen? But if one of the members transfers the patent outside of the network, outside of the membership here, that license is granted, I guess, presumably that moment before the actual assignment is made. So if you start thinking about it too literally, that gets sort of wacky to think about. But, it has to happen that way because it's not a present license. You're not allowing all of your competitors to use the patent right as soon as you become a member. But then, of course, after it's been transferred, you no longer would have the ability to grant the license. So it has to be that way. But it's just sort of a wacky, novel thing to think about how it's actually done. And the license agreement seems to be really well written and certainly interesting reading.